stop anything just because the book ends in Revelation, just because you've received your breakthrough or your blessing, he's still the miracle maker. He still is performing miracles, whether it's healing, restoration, deliverance, or whether you just need a special touch so that things can begin to change in your life. He's a miracle worker. It says that the Bible says that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's just make sure that we don't put him in a box. That he has to move in a certain way. He has to do things a way that we would think it would to be God. Because then you start to limit God. We have to understand that God is God all by himself. And when he makes a decision, it is his final decision. The enemy has tried to make you feel like your promises aren't going to come to pass. Tried to make you feel like because all hell is breaking loose and things are happening in your life, that the promises aren't going to happen. But if he said it, God said it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen the way he intends for it to happen. It's not going to look like you think it's going to look. It's not going to feel like you think it's going to feel. Nor is it going to fit you like you think it's going to fit you. You may get something that's oversized in your life, but you will grow into it. Some of y'all missed that prophetic statement. Let me say it again. He will give you something that is oversized. In other words, you haven't grown into that form yet, but you will grow into it. Are you hearing me? What we go and do is we go to the department store, we pick out what fits us right now. But God always looks beyond your now, and he looks into your future. He says, I know what you need and when you need it. It may not look like it's going to fit you right now, but you're about to grow into this thing, and it's going to fit you like a glove. It's going to be broken in. It's not going to give you blisters. You're going to understand it's just for you. The more and more you get acclimated to what he has given you, the more and more you have an understanding you're right where he wants you to be. Ah! You're right where he wants you to be. It has nothing to do with, I think I might step off the boat. You're going to sink if he ain't there. If you are in the boat and you're in the storm, it's because he told you to get in the boat. Learn to be still in the midst of your storm. This is for real. If he told you to get in the boat, he also said to go to the other side. He knew all along that you were going to get to the other side. But when the storm came up, the winds began to blow. Now you even had the people in the boat with you that you were sleeping with, eating with, and doing all your business with. But you sometimes find things out about the people that you're with in the process of the storm. Even when God told you to go with them. Y'all know. If he told you to hook up, but the storm came and you want to jump ship, you better get yourself right back in line. What you don't know about that particular story, little bit of history about these fishermen on the boat. There was an old tale, an old wives' tale, that if you ever see a spirit on the water, it represented a fisherman that drowned, and that spirit was looking to get into your boat. That's why they were fearful. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about you. You have a tendency to be looking at the spirits of the past, trying to get into your boat of your now to get you to your destination of your future. So when they saw that spirit, they feared and trembled, not because it was Jesus, because they thought it was a spirit coming to get into their boat. You're missing it. In other words, they're saying, I see the spirit, and if it gets into this boat, we're going down. How is it that Peter said, Lord, if it's you? They should have never selected Peter. Peter, what did he see that the others didn't see? He didn't even know it was Jesus because he said, if it is you, bid me to come. This has nothing to do where I'm going, but this is prophetic. You are in your vessel that he told you to get in. And when it gets uncomfortable, and when you can't even find rest in the midst of your storm, he is about to enter into your boat. But you first have to let your faith leave that mess. And let your faith touch the faith of the Spirit of God to bring him closer to you. Whether you walk on water was not the issue. It was identifying who he is, who he was, but now you're going to understand who he is going to be in your next season. I know it's Bible study. I know it's Bible study. I can only talk like this I can talk like this all the time. Y'all going to just have to catch up. If he said to go, Colleen, he said go. He didn't say it was going to be easy. He didn't say it was going to be smooth sailing. He said, just go. Yeah, things are going to look like they don't look right. You may not see the sun shining in that moment that he told you to go. You may not even see the land in which you're going to. You may lose your bearings or where the land is. And you're trying to figure out, do I go straight? Or am I going to run into a rock? Or am I going to perish with all these other boats in the water? See, you don't see everything that is written. You have to have an understanding of the history on where they were at. This was a place where many of these vessels sank. They knew the history of when a storm, they called it a tempest, when it would come, it was like hurricane winds. And when it came, they knew this boat ain't gonna make it. They had a real fear of something, of what they associated with others. I'm here to tell you, whatever you're fearing in the midst of your storm right now, he's ordained you to be in it. You don't want to hear that, oh, God don't send me in no storm. He put you right in the storm. Mm-hmm. And if he puts you in it, don't you know he's going to get you out of it? Well, I'm here to give you your prophetic word. The storm was not ceasing when he got on the boat. It wasn't until Jesus said, peace and be still, that the waves and the wind stopped and they were at their destination. They were at their destination. Let me play on words a little bit for you. They got to their destiny for that season of being with Jesus. Oh, shout and holler right now. Go ahead. What was waiting on the other side? What he wanted to show them, Oscar, is I told you to go to the other side. I even told you to get into that boat. I didn't tell you to get into the other boat. I said that boat. If they had chosen to get into another vessel, they would have perished.
You don't hear me.
Don't you think the enemy wants to present to you many vessels? But if he says, this one, you better get to stepping and get in that boat. Oh, let me bring it to reality. If he said to get into this business, that's the business you get into. And if he said for you to do it this way, that's the way you do it. Because if you don't do it, don't go crying to God, but God, you didn't bless it. No, I didn't tell you to go that route. Did you go this route? Okay.
Some of y'all are like, wait a minute. But the moment that I got to this place in this business and in this situation in this part of the city as opposed to that part of the city, my finances went down.
Do you hear the crickets in here, Ms. Price? Do you hear the cricket? But what God is saying is you don't know what I'm doing in the midst of your lean time. You may think your pockets are getting a little thin, but what I'm doing is far greater than what you can see with your eyes. I am going to reveal to you that I'm working to prepare for you a field that you did not plant.
Oh, now you want to shout.
And then I am preparing to take you to a place where a house that you did not build. A vineyard that you did not plant. But you don't understand that he told you to go into this storm because you couldn't see what he was doing.
Why did I come to church tonight?
Why am I showing up at this place? It's always dark in here and they got all kinds of weird stuff going on because you're weird. And what's going to happen is God has to do something outside of the norm to get you something from the supernatural realm. I prayed for a young lady. Watch this. Oh, let me just. I got me a job, a J-O-N, a B, with a paycheck to follow. And don't shout yet. Hold on. So I said, it's in the industry that I love. I love food, so I'm going to be a general manager of a Mexican restaurant. I get to eat for free. Sure. I go there 2 weeks and get fired. Now watch this. But in the midst of being there 2 weeks, prayed for three people. The third person that I prayed for was barren and couldn't have children. And spoke life, and by this time next year, you will hold your promise in your arms. Oh, yeah. And the husband so happened to be the one running from the call of God, but now is a pastor of a very prominent church now. And the wife, has a baby. Oh, you're going to send me and get a job, and I think I'm going to do good for my family. During that time, I was homeless. During that time, I didn't have a vehicle. During that time, my children were sleeping on the floor or sleeping on bunk beds with other people. That it was rough. It was tough. My storm, my vessel, his command. But after he spoke it into existence, I was moved out and put into a place that I wanted to be. But watch this. I hope this helps you. Into a house that there's nowhere ever that I've ever seen that they will give you this house to rent and you don't have a job. Double of what you were used to paying before you got laid off at the other four jobs. I'm still talking about the same year. God has a plan. If he sends you to a certain place, it's because he's taking you to another place. Hallelujah. He's taking you to your other place. Why is he taking you to another place? Because we all need to encounter God. Not religion, not philosophical things, theological things, but we need to encounter God. And the only time you really encounter God is when you're in your storm. Because if everything is going good in your life, you ain't calling out to God, much less are you really thanking God. You're so consumed with your goodness. But you forget who sent the goodness to you. Then all of a sudden, now you see some things come into your life that you didn't expect in your life, but they just happen to show up. Mm-hmm. Well, well, well. We may not even get to my slides, and I'm good with that. Let me put it in rewind for you just a little bit. Put that gear in reverse. Prior to them getting into the boat, there was a miracle of feeding 5,000. Oh, let me get all in your Kool-Aid. There was some lack that was very present before the disciples and before God. And it wasn't that kind of lack, like, I'm just about a block away from my house and there's a McDonald's right here and there's a Wendy's right there. No, they were out in the desert somewhere, walking along, following this man that they really couldn't hear because he didn't have a microphone. He didn't have a business card for people to follow. I'm prophet so-and-so, I'm apostle so-and-so, I'm bishop of the bishops, and they just followed something that they knew to be truth. And they followed after God. Even the disciples did not know what was going on. They said, it's about that hour. He's long-winded. Jesus, you're very long-winded. You about to cut it because it's like dinner time. But you already made us fast breakfast, lunch, snack, and everything. We're getting ready for the sun to go down. And there's a lot of people here. That's the tendency of the church right now. You're stretching me too much. And if you stretch me too much, maybe I'll just go and pull on you a little bit. Jesus, hey, Jesus, you know, it's not just me. I got children. Hey, Jesus. It's not just me. I have people I got to pay. Hey, Jesus, it's not just, you know what happens? The church got more involved about their stomach than the people that were following. But what happened was God had a plan. He already knew, I got this. I'm the bread of life. I can give them bread. I can do anything. I can make the rocks turn into whatever I want it to be. But he wasn't feeding the people for the people. He was showing his disciples about who he is, who he was, and who he is to become. So he tells them, sit him down in 50s. Sit him down in 50s. In other words, in the midst of the hunger of the disciples, in the midst of lack, in the midst of not having enough, they knew they didn't have enough. And along came this little boy with the little basket with fish and some bread. Y'all know the story. Isn't it kind of like how you are? You always get overlooked, but you're the one that has the answer. You're the one that has the solution to the problem, but you always get overlooked. You. But yet you're the child of God. You are. The church has a tendency to overlook what you already have. And they don't want you to become who you're supposed to become. So the church is always looking at the problem, but not bringing the solution. Now, what Jesus does, he begins to multiply, but he never, ever touched anything. He fed the 5,000 by having the disciples that were complaining that they were hungry. You feed them. Can we get the church to do the work and quit looking, God, you got to do this? No, I said, you sit them down in 50s. In other words, you bring order to this chaos. And then you do exactly as I say, and you'll see me perform. But up until then, you're just going to continue looking around and figuring out what's going on and looking at the lack and not looking at the surplus. So after he feeds the 5,000, including those disciples, not in counting the children or the women, does it say that Jesus ate? Can we get to that point that we will look out for others as opposed to looking out for ourselves? Let me feed everybody else, but I'm not going to feed myself. Because in the midst of me feeding you, I get fed. In the midst of me giving you the bread of life, I get the bread of life. In the midst of you getting your miracle, I get my miracle. In the midst of you getting to the other side, I get to the other side. The church needs to understand you're the whole purpose for the kingdom of God. And if we can pour out into the church, you'll see the change in the church. Now, let's put this now in first gear. He tells the disciples, gather the fragments. It doesn't say that it gave it back to the little boy, does it? They carried that basket with them. Guess where? To the boat. To the boat. So when they get on the boat, they're carrying these fragments with them. In other words, have you ever carried a testimony of God that will keep you through your storm? Really, because I'm looking at some folks that really don't understand that the storm that you're in, he's already did something for you in the past. Carry that fragment with you to understand he has a surplus for you. His miracles never run out. And if he did something for you in the past, he's going to do it for you now. Here they are looking at this basket, 12 basketfuls of fish and bread. Why would he tell them to take it with them? Because he knew something was coming later. You ever wonder why you don't understand what's going on? Because you don't take the time to pay attention. If he's coming through for you right now and he's blessing you with surplus when you had lack, it's for your future. It's for your future. If you're in lack right now, and don't look at your money, I'm not even talking about that. But if it is your money, oh, Lord, there's too many kids in here for me to even really talk. I'm going to have me a couples retreat and talk very raw and real to you. They're like, Pastor, why you? Because some of y'all need to understand what real relationship is. And so what I want to tell you is that I was trained. If you got lack, maybe even in your body, maybe in relationship you have lack, God is going to meet your lack, but he'll always give you a surplus. Always a surplus. He doesn't give you just a little bit. He gives you more than enough. They had to carry the fragment of the miracle that took place before their own eyes. But yet the storm came, and they feared for their life. Not realizing if he had fed the multitude supernaturally, right before their eyes, they couldn't believe that he was going to get them out of the storm. But yet when they realize he's walking on water, and then Peter walks out there with him, then Peter begins to sink, but then he reaches out. He's proving them left and right, I defy the laws of this world. And because you are of me and I am in you, you defy the laws of this world. You are supernatural beings. You're not natural. You're not just any other person. You're supernatural beings. And you have authority over time, authority over weather, authority over lack, authority over sickness, disease, and every stinking demon that comes your way. When they got to the other side, they faced a legion of demons. Guess what? They didn't have to open their mouth whatsoever, because Jesus was showing them something, that the demons know who I am, and because I am in you, they know who you are. Because they're afraid of who's in you. But did you notice that no miracles were done other than that there? Because the people didn't want Jesus to do any more. They get back in the boat. Read the story. The Bible's full of good stuff to read. Read it. And for those that have a tendency to say, well, we're the church. We're the church. So I don't have to go to church. I could just ask you one question. Find that in the Bible for me. You'll probably fumble around a little bit and go to an electronic device to look up where the scripture is, because you don't know the word, because you're not in the word. You got so left astray out there to be on your own that the wolves came in and devoured you, and you've been missing everything that God has for you. Read the story. They're asking for food again. This time it's 7,000. This time he rebukes them. How much longer do I gotta be with you that you still don't understand? Do you not have the baskets, the fragments? Do you not have what I've already done once before your eyes? Will I not do it again, regardless of the numbers? Oh, you don't hear me. In other words, the debt went a little bit higher. The lack was a little bit more extreme. But God had a plan all along. Bring those fragments with you. And I'm going to tell you what I did once, I will do again. Have you ever tasted success in your life and said, my checkbook is fat? And if you had it once before, let me tell you something. You're about to experience an overflow in your life. Because God is going to bring his people out of lack. You are about to experience a God encounter. And I'm prophesying to you tonight that this encounter will change your physical being. It'll change your lack to abundance. It'll change the nature of who you are. It'll change everything about you. Jesus came into this earth, and there was an encounter that took place. He encountered your sin, and he wiped it all away. He encountered your sickness, and he wiped it all away. He encountered all of your afflictions and wiped it all away. He encountered your sorrows, and he wiped it all away. He encountered all of your grief. He encountered all of your stress, and he wiped it all away. If you've got any type of diagnosis, he wiped it all away. If you received a bad report, he wiped it all away, because he's encountered your circumstance. And if I prophesy to one that checks are in the mail, there's checks in the mail for you. He's not a respecter of person. There's going to be an overflow and a release, a perpetual release into the kingdom of God. We are no longer waiting in a boat for the storm to end. Jesus is stepping into your circumstance to speak to your storm, and it will cease. Woo-wee. The
The troubler has come. The troubler has come. Oh, he's stepping in. See, the one that has been manipulating, controlling, conniving, stealing, and causing all kinds of havoc in your life is a Jezebel spirit. Has been trying to rule in authority over the kingdom in your life. Woo. It takes the priestly anointing, shepherd, to speak, for the troubler has come. Ahab finally decided he wanted to say something. I'm giving you deep teachings already, and if you ain't taking notes, shame on you. Ahab says, are you the troubler? Are you the troubler, or do you come in peace? God is destroying from within the enemy's camp to cast out that lying, manipulating, conniving spirit called Jezebel out of your life. Out of your life. Oh, watch this. The Bible says that the anointing destroys the yoke. It does not say that it fragments it. It does not say that it'll just crack it so you can get out of it, but that it can be repaired later and be put back on you. When it's destroyed, it can never be put back on you again. Be like Humpty Dumpty that sat on the wall. Y'all know that one. Do I got to bring it to the rhymes now? Then he took a nasty fall, but not even all the king's horsemen and all the king's men could put Humpty Dumpty back on that wall. What are you looking at your past for that scares you about your now? That ghost, that apparition, that past is not taking you out of where you're going. God is changing, shifting the church. Now you can say, well, I'm the church. Yes. Because you cannot curse what God calls blessed. You are a blessed generation. You are blessed people. And if everything that has come against you, that has tried to stop you, is only there to perfect you in this storm. We don't like it. It don't feel good. Let me say it again. It don't feel good. But neither does giving birth. You can shout and celebrate afterwards. But the during, you'll think there's a demon. But let me tell you, you're experiencing the pains before the birth. And know this, you're not going to get the epidural shot. He's not going to lessen the pain. He's going to allow you to go through. Because in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, he's going to speak. And you'll be at your destination. There's rapid change and shifting that is coming to the body of Christ. Rapid. Rapid. I prophesied that in 72 hours there'll be a change of events. Remember that? That was right after the bombing in Boston. 72 hours later, after that Wednesday, they were one killed and apprehended. But before we even left, we had an explosion in West Texas.
There are some things that are taking place if we could just put the eyes of the prophetic to see and to understand the times that we're in. It's one thing to know scripture. It's one thing to utilize your gifts. But let's not forget to utilize our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes to discern the time. All of these things, and there's been tragedies. There's been tragedies. There's been earthquakes. There's been buildings collapsing, correct? What was the one that was in Bangladesh? A building collapsed, correct? Which one? Yes, and Chicago was underwater. One of the, okay, I understand, from the flood that was coming through. Okay, watch. Buildings came down. There's a flood and a bombing. There's also an apprehension of those that cause. Understand? Now, your Jericho walls and your cities, your fortified cities, are coming down. Ooh, that I will see. There was a nursing home destroyed, was it not? Oh, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There were schools that were also, there was a high school right around there in West Texas, correct? Vehicles destroyed. Apartment complexes. Your dwelling places that the enemy has occupied will be destroyed. The vehicles which are your ministries that the enemy has occupied will be destroyed. In which you have drawn to incline your ears to be educated from, where the enemy has infiltrated and began to spit lies in the midst of truth, is going to be brought down. And God is moving at a rate that is very rapid. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Two instances to caveat off of that. I see so strong. I see an ark, a very huge ark, the ark, Noah's ark. In the building process of Noah's ark, watch this. There was not a blueprint. There was nothing written. There was nothing that he could read. There was nothing that he could see. He had to receive it in his spirit. In the process of building it, still they would not repent. They would not turn. This is what God says to Noah. Get all your family into the ark. All that you can. He didn't ask whether or not they were right. He said, get them in. And they were saved. Oh, yes, thank you. He tells to Lot, get your family, and they were the ones who are just as wicked as everybody else, in this house. If they're in this house, they too will be saved. I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of God is going to come through rapidly and invade and encounter your family members. And bring them in to his covenant. And will save them from their turmoil and their destruction. Woo! Hallelujah. Wow, y'all should have been shouting down. You were shouting for your houses. You were shouting for your vineyards. But for the souls, you better shout more for the souls than you better shout for anything else. You want your family members that are running away from God to be brought back, right back to God. You want them to understand that God is for real. Oh, watch this. Oh, Jesus came down. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama. Thank you. Jesus comes down. He looks at Peter and says, I have prayed because Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. When you convert back, feed my sheep. He didn't say, I prayed that Satan would not take you. He did not pray that Satan wouldn't sift you. I prayed that your faith faileth not, but that you would return when you convert back and feed my sheep. You got prodigals that are coming home from your family. They once knew about Jesus. They once knew about the glory of God. They once knew about the God that grandma used to serve. But now they're coming home. And when they come home, they're coming home knowing about the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the promise of God. But they're coming with authority and power. And they're not coming back weak and timid or sick. They're coming back strength, strong, bold, because they're going to say no more to this devil that's been controlling my life. Oh, Jesus. This is a prophetic night. And if I got to prophesy all night, I'll prophesy all night. You're going to see, oh, Lord Jesus, watch this. You may see government going beyond the way it's supposed to be, but God says, I am the governing body. And then my spirit will go forth into this nation and bring holiness back into this nation. But before it gets better, it gets worse. Because in the midst of their decisions, watch this. God is saying, I prayed, United States, that the enemy would not sift you, but yet that you would convert back to me and you would feed my sheep. Ooh-wee. Oh, there's been a sifting, all right. It started in the financial district. Ooh, where they have a bull that stands right outside. Watch this. The Spirit of God is coming in, and he's going to bring you more. Your IRAs, your 401ks, and everything that you have meant to have as a security. God is going to multiply beyond that the computer systems won't even be able to track where it came from. But you will see 7777777. Seven is a number of rest. Woo! He's bringing your financial turmoil to rest. My God, my God, my God. Shh, girl, I'm prophesying right now. You better be on the same vein. If it's not, then you're going to hold it and you'll say it on Sunday. Is it on the same vein? Okay, then come on. Come on.
For one, you were saying about family, right?
Yes.
Well, family, resurrection, my brother, my son, they're all going to church.
Come on.
They're all, actually, I spoke with my brother yesterday, and he was telling me that God is so good, because every time he gets attacked, it's always, he's trying to do something better for himself and something better for himself.
Yes.
And he's always getting attacked. Well, since he's found God in his life, he's changed his whole world around.
Come on.
So I want to thank God for that.
That's right.
And I also want to thank God for financial, for myself. I got approved to get a house built.
Come on.
I want to thank God for that as well. Now, I had a little bit of debt in my situation in order for me to get approved for this home. Well, God went and paid all of it off.
Come on.
Me.
Come on.
I just want to thank God for that.
That's
as well.
That's right. So. You see that? You see that? Debt's canceled. Go ahead, Josh. Debts canceled and get you approved. Approved. When everybody else says you're not approved, he can do it. I know what I'm feeling in the spirit, guys. I know what I'm feeling. I know what I'm hearing. I know that what I'm hearing by the Spirit of the living God, he is going to invade this nation. He is about to invade the church. He is going to make a shift and a change. A shift is this, a repositioning, but a change is movement. We are, my God, we have been laying on the mat, woo, crippled, and used to having people come and carry us. God is saying, get off of your mat of comfort. Let me get you so stirred up that my spirit brings strength to where you were once weak. Lame man was so used to laying down, there was no circulation in the legs. Well, watch this. I'm going to prophesy concerning circulation right now in your body. If you got issues with circulation, raise your hands right now. Raise it and receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, regulate it right now. And I speak into the atmosphere right now in Jesus' mighty name that you regulate the circulation of blood right now through the veins, through the artery, to the muscle fibers, strengthen the fibers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, Jesus, thank you, thank you. He immediately got off of the mat that he was so comfortable and it fit him. And I'll make it very plain. When you lay down tonight in your bed, it's already formed just like you. Is it not? Because you've been laying there long enough. He is going to get you off of that area of comfort. But he's going to make you walk out of that area of where you were once at. He shifts you up and he moves you away. Oh, Jesus. He's going to do it, Josh. He is speaking. And because the words are going forth, it's breaking barriers. It's breaking everything that's being held back. And it's going to release by the Spirit of God what is rightfully yours. You got to remember that Canaan was a place that was inhabited by everybody else. But he tells the people of Israel, that's yours. I will go before you to drive them out. They may be in your house right now. They may be in your car right now. They may be in your fields right now. But I'm going to drive them out. That is your place. Your place in me is prosperity, wealth, health, and the fullness of who he is in you. You're about to experience God invading your circumstance. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. I know by the Spirit of God, whoo, that lofty, prideful, arrogant, whoo, leaders that are prominent in cities across this nation are going to be brought down. God-fearing, humble men and women of God are going to take office. And watch this. There's a shift. It'll be predominantly more women than men. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just thank you right now for what you're doing. That what you have spoken has gone forth. It has permeated the atmosphere, Father God. And because it is ripe, it's ripe, Father, for your body has been crying out that the seed shall fall on good ground. Because our hearts have been made open because of the pressures of life, the persecution, the ridicule, the backbiting, the lies, the deceit, the manipulation, and the control has opened up our hearts and our spirit unto you. For the goodness, the peace, and the favor of God. Release your seed, God, upon those in whom you've selected and called and appointed for such a time as this. That fresh, new, vibrant, with vigor and tenacity and boldness, these leaders shall arise. They shall arise. And they will come from obscurity. The unknowns, those that have been hidden in the world, you're calling them out to step in. Father, I thank you. And I give you praise, God, for the prophetic utterances that come from heaven, God, that we, your people, can receive. As you gave instructions to Moses for the tabernacle, as you gave instructions, Lord, to Noah for the ark, they just received. And it was never written down. It was spoken. And it came into being. Father, I thank you in advance. We receive it in advance. And we walk expectantly for the fulfillment of your word. You do it not because of our behalf, but you do it on account of your behalf. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. All of God's children said amen.
Amen.
Woo! Look, guys, this tonight was nothing but just prophetic declarations of what I kept hearing from God. And I had my son, Josh, back there. I've been teaching him how to do the audio visual. And I had a whole thing. I've been here since very, very early today. And my message was done, complete, and I was just playing around with Josh back there. But I know what I'm hearing. It has to be spoken. It's not about, oh, let me get to my message. Let me just preach now. It's about what he has to say that we say it. Do you understand? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Tonight, your souls were spoken to. Your spirit responded to the soul being awakened. And now your mind will receive the images, oh, thank you, Jesus, of the instructions that God is releasing supernaturally. And he's doing it. He's doing it. Thank God that we can come into an atmosphere and tarry with the Spirit of God for it to be released. There's so much more, guys. There's so much more. Don't lose sight of the fact that God still speaks. And it changes territories, regions. Just told you about Jonah. He called Nineveh a great city. And it was one of the worst cities around. But he saw beyond their now. He saw their future. And it never lacked again. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Waves of blessing, waves of blessing. Waves, 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 waves of blessing. Blessings, 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 blessings. Supernatural blessings. Release. There it is. There it is. Sit by the waves as they break. Sit by the waves as they break. There's a breaker's anointing and it's breaking right at your feet. And it's releasing a refreshing into your soul, a refreshing into your spirit. There's a release. There's a release. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A release that even those that you have cried out for, there's a release. They're being set free, delivered. Drugs will no longer have control over them. Pornography will be canceled off of their lives. Images in their mind will be uprooted. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, the taste will be removed from their mouth of a wicked and sinful way of life will be removed. These are the ways of God's mercy and his grace that are breaking forth beyond that which you can see, because everything is supernatural that you can only perceive it by the spirit man. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, you're so good. We love you, we love you, we love you. Oh, Jesus, you are our helper. Oh, Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. 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 Jesus, save now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, think it not strange that the refrigerator will be empty and you will see it in the trash can tonight. No more. No more. My God, my God. Think it not strange when you get the text tonight. I need to be in church. Think it not strange that they want to be baptized. They want to convert back to God. That they want to be cleansed from being in the pig's pen. And they want to come back to God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Yes, Lord, I heard it. Oh, my God. Those that have been wounded by spiritual leaders. Those that have been hurt by shepherds across the land that no longer have trust in the governing body of church are being healed today. I'm healing the brokenhearted, says God. I'm healing the weary. The ones that have been blinded. And the ones that have been made deaf to my spirit. Those that have been desensitized of me, says God. I'm bringing such a sensitivity of my spirit, my anointing, my glory, my promise. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Release your glory, Father, your favor, your weighty presence. Release it, God. Your weighty presence. Release it. Deeds will be handed over to men and women of God, saying, here is your land, debt-free. My God, my God. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Buildings will be handed over. Businesses handed over. A manager will be made CFO. Jesus, my God. I am warping time. I am closing the gap between point A and point B. I will warp time to bring an end to your delay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory, glory. Oh, you're worthy, Jesus, you're worthy. We worship you. You're the King of Kings, and we are in your kingdom, God. We're joint heirs to the throne through your Son, Jesus. Father, I thank you that what is in the kingdom is mine. I thank you, God, that we take ownership of the kingdom, God. That we're no longer stewards, God, because we're not slaves. We're not workers. We are joint heirs. We're owners of the kingdom, God. We own the kingdom. And everything in the kingdom that is promised is promised to us. We take ownership of the kingdom. We take ownership of authority. We take ownership, Father, of your blessing and your word and your promise, Lord. Oh, you sweet, sweet presence. Oh, your sweet presence, God, I thank you. Oh, you're worthy, Daddy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Oh, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. Yes, Lord. That's it. That's it. The breath of God is going forth. Woo! He brought Ezekiel from a high place and brought him into the valley. And in that valley, there were dead bones. They were dry bones. They were dislocated and not in alignment. And there were many in this valley. And Jesus said to Ezekiel, prophesy. Prophesy to these dry bones. Prophesy. Marrow came back into the bones. Bones got connected, and it says the sinew was even placed on the bones. That's the muscle, the force, the strength. Flesh came onto these dry bones. But it wasn't until God spoke to Ezekiel and said, prophesy to the wind. From the north, the south, the east, and the west. That there was a sound of wind that came in and brought life back to this precious army. Before any victory, shift, change, there's a sound. And there's a prophetic sound being released right now into the body of Christ. I am invading my church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The residue of your daddy in heaven will remain on you. That when you enter your home, there will be a deposit of breakthrough in your home. Thank you. How's the dog? Much better. Who has ailing pets in here right now? That's right, you. You. Is that it?